so she'd wedged in a tiny chair and desk, and now sat scrolling through various screens of data. She wanted to get a head start on things, and besides, she wasn't in a hurry to return to the emptiness of Kentham House. Having completed the dossier on Ariel, she scanned through a few other documents to see what was worth considering. A word caught her attention and made her scroll back. Once she'd read it, she sat up straight. Calderos Station. Still, she'd heard nothing about the attack. The Empire clearly wanted to hush it up. So how was this in her files? A quick review turned up the answer. Calderos Station was referred to in an older file, one that hadn't been updated to reflect the events of the past few weeks, or deleted to erase those events either. The data before her summed up shipping in that area, as part of the background for a tariff debate they'd taken up later in the session. But whoever had attacked that station must have arrived disguised as any old cargo convoy. Leia began searching through the data for the most common vectors of space traffic through Calderos Station in its final months. Most of the worlds were larger ones like Bilbringi and Arcanus. No surprise there. And a few shipments still went to Wabani, however infrequently. But a couple of unlikely planets kept coming up over and over. First, there was Crate, which she'd never heard of. When she pulled it up from memory banks, she saw why. It was a salt-covered rock in the middle of nowhere. How did that planet have any trade, much less enough to have repeatedly gone to Wabani? And Atopi Prime was a world very near Coruscant, prosperous in its own right, and wholly loyal to the Emperor. What it wasn't was a major exporter of goods to distant planets like this one. Didn't I hear someone mention Atopi Prime recently? Leia frowned. She'd figure out when and where later. For now, she only knew that the traffic patterns through Calderas Station in the past few months had been abnormal. Not so much that they'd draw immediate attention, but noticeable after the fact. Was it possible that those patterns were linked to the attack? If so, these were traces of people who were rising up against the Empire, but in the most terrifying way possible. Leia knew she should bring this to her father, or maybe even to her mother. Or she could bury the files deep in databanks, hiding them so well nobody would ever know she'd reviewed them. Instead, she pulled up star charts that revealed travel lanes to Atopi Prime and to Crate. Chapter 8. Alderaan never seemed so beautiful to Leia as when she had returned from Coruscant. After that world's metropolitan crush, she always welcomed the feeling of freedom that swept over her when she saw her world's snow-capped mountains, shimmering glacier lakes, and broad blue sky. Usually she celebrated her homecoming by taking a long walk outdoors, or even going for a dip in one of the lakes. This time, much more important tasks demanded her attention. First, Leia found one of the Wabani families she'd spoken to several days prior. She caught them on the eve of their departure, already preparing for their trip to Atopi Prime.
"Oh, yes, Your Highness," said the father of the house. "My cousins have done a fair bit of trade through Calderas Station. I haven't heard of that planet you mentioned."
"Crate," Leia repeated, hoping it would stir a memory. He shook his head.
"No, I don't know that one at all. But Wabani and Atopi Prime, yes. Very active through that station."
"I don't suppose you know exactly what trade they were active in." She raised an eyebrow.
"Not at all. Though I suppose I'll find out soon. Going into the family business."
He smiled broadly. If he was lying to her, he was doing a good job of it. As she'd anticipated, Bria was too wrapped up in plans for the next big party to welcome her daughter back home. The knowledge stung, but less than it usually did. Nothing comforted Leia as much as having work to do, or a puzzle to solve. That night in the library, sitting beneath one of the star globes, She reviewed the Calderos station findings she'd been able to salvage. And salvage was the right word. When she'd gone into the senatorial databanks in search of more recent data, she found everything had been deleted, going back months before the attack on Calderos. Leia was used to information suddenly disappearing. Palpatine's government was blatant in its erasure of history. This time, however, she thought the Empire might not be the ones to blame. If some people are actually organizing to take action against the Empire, she reasoned, they'll cover their tracks as well as they can. If those people were using Calderos as a vector for trading ships and armaments, they'd try to erase any data that could lead back to them. And they might even choose the base as a target. Cripple Imperial traffic in the area and conceal themselves, all at the same time. It's a smart move. Leia caught herself. She hated the Empire, of course, but that didn't mean she should just pick up a blaster and start shooting at the first thing that made her mad. Her father had always stressed the importance of their work in the Senate, the need to fight for change through the law. Could she condone these people resorting to violence? Casualties at Calderos Station had been limited to a few injuries, but that kind of large-scale action would ultimately lead to loss of life. How many people die because of Palpatine's rule every year? Is it deadlier to fight against that kind of tyranny, or to let it flourish? When is it time to give up on peace and take up arms? She didn't have answers to those questions. Probably she wouldn't, even if she had a degree in philosophy. Leia knew only one thing for certain. She wanted to know more. There could be no question of taking the Tantive IV on a secret mission. Instead, Leia commandeered the Pulsar and asked for a crew of only one. Great! Res Batten frowned at the star charts. I've never even heard of that system. With good reason, Leia said. She wore a pale coverall and had already stowed hiking gear on board the yacht. Finding activity on a planet as desolate as Crait might take a while. There's nothing there, or there shouldn't be. I'm on a fact-finding mission for the Apprentice Legislature. Since she was an apprentice, and the one in search of facts, she figured that didn't count as a lie. Batten wasn't convinced. I didn't know you guys had fact-finding missions. Okay, add a little more detail. I'm tracking a couple of shipments that headed out that way. Who's shipping anything out to the back of beyond? Batten folded her arms, warier than before. That's what we're going to discover. Leia smiled with as much confidence as she could muster. This won her a raised eyebrow. These people are going to try to shoot us, aren't they? No, Leia protested, then caught herself. I mean, I doubt it. We'll let them know we're friends. What if they shoot us before we get to make friends? Batten shrugged in answer to her own question and began inputting their course. Guess we'll have to send some party invites out ahead. Take off in 10, Your Highness. The trip shouldn't take more than a few hours. Briefly, Leia considered leaving a message for her mother. Of course, she couldn't explain where she was going, much less why. But she could at least tell Bria that she was headed off-world. I could say I was going to pathfinding practice on Getalenta or Chandrilla. Or maybe that I'd be hanging out with some of the other apprentices on Coruscant. Those were perfectly plausible cover stories Leia didn't need. In her heart, she knew her mother would never even realize she was gone. Running through the palace corridors, giggling as she went, her mother's footsteps fast behind her. Looking back to see the Queen of Alderaan with her hair down and her dressing gown floating behind her as she called, I'm coming to get you! Can't catch me! Laughing as she ran even faster, trusting her mother to be no more than a few steps behind. Look. Her father's voice low in her ear as he cradled her in his lap, pointing at the distant mountain. That's Appenza Peak.
Your mother climbed that mountain to prove she was ready to become Crown Princess of Alderaan.
All by yourself?
Leia, not able to get into her high bed without Tuvi's help, unable to imagine anything so bold as climbing a mountain.
All by herself.
Bail Organa hugging her tightly, making her feel snug and safe against the world. Leia forced herself to stop reliving old memories once she realized there was a lump in her throat. Batten was already suspicious of this trip. She'd definitely know something was up if Leia broke down in tears. Why didn't it stop hurting? Her parents had shut her out months ago, nearly a year, and that was enough time for her to understand how things were. Still, she couldn't accept it. Her heart refused to acknowledge that anything had changed. It just kept aching for people who no longer answered when she called. The pain never lessened. Even worse, whenever she was hurting, her first instinct was to turn to her mother and father. The wound stayed fresh. Maybe it always would.
Your Highness?
Russ Batten spoke from the cockpit, so gently that Leia wondered if her sadness had shown on her face.
We're about to come out of hyperspace.
Ready. Leia ran her hand over her braids and tucked in one escaped lock of hair. She wanted to be prepared for anything, whether that meant looking her best or... After a few long seconds, she took a blaster from the locker and holstered it to her hip. Batten glanced over her shoulder.
So you're not putting my confidence in those party invitations.
We'll be fine, Leia promised, in hopes she wasn't lying.
I'm just... cautious. Sorry, Your Highness, but cautious is one thing you're not.
Batten had a smile on her oval face.
Brace yourself in 3, 2, 1.
The electric blue waves of hyperspace vanished, replaced by an unfamiliar starfield and the white expanse of Crait. A small planet, it was as desolate as its out-of-the-way location implied. A thick crust of salt covered nearly the entire surface, though here and there Leia could spot the planet's vivid red soil showing through, and narrow carved lines amid the white that hinted at canyons and deeply sunken waterways.
I'm not picking up any space traffic signals, Batten said, frowning as she stared at the controls. No orbital stations, no spaceports. Oh, wait, there it is.
She pointed at a small variance in one signal, hinting at a tracking signal, so faint that Leia was certain she'd never have spotted it on her own.
We're being monitored.
The blaster felt heavier against Leia's thigh. Are they sending anyone this way? Batten shook her head.
Nobody's coming after us. I'm not picking up weapon signatures. The tracking signal could be automatic.
Leia took the jump seat in the cockpit. Are there any life signs?
Some movement in the canyons, possibly aquatic creatures, but on the surface...
Batten's voice trailed off as she zeroed in on the signal.
We've got one tiny scratch of a settlement up here on the northern continent. Then that's where we're headed, Leia said, with more confidence than she felt.
As Russ Batten brought the ship down toward the surface, Leia donned her hiking gear. Simple white clothes that would blend in with the salty landscape. A full utility belt and a visored cap to protect her from either bright sun or easy visual identification. The holster with her weapon fit just right, though the sensation of having a blaster at her side was one she didn't want to get used to. From the outside, she now looked like a woman of action. Inside, her nerves were beginning to get the better of her. It was one thing to want to investigate this potential rebellion against Palpatine's rule, another to actually walk up to the people responsible and trust them. Even scarier would be asking them to trust her. Anyone taking action against the Empire would be on guard, wouldn't they?
They haven't shot us down so far. Besides, you're here to help.
How exactly? She couldn't promise troops or safe harbor on Alderaan.
She'd need her parents' cooperation for that, and she no longer had any faith in her ability to persuade them. Whatever a rebel group needed, it probably wasn't a stray 16-year-old girl. Yet she was a 16-year-old girl with access to her share of the royal purse. That money was meant to serve humanitarian purposes, and what could be more humanitarian than pushing back against Palpatine's rule? Or maybe they're not freedom fighters. Maybe they're just terrorists in training, and you're walking right into their trap. Leia double-checked her blaster, then tucked it into her long jacket, out of sight. Although she'd never played Sabacc, she'd seen enough of it in holovids to know good players kept their best card a secret until the very end. From the bridge, she heard Res Batten repeating, "Polestar of Alderaan to any vessel within range, requesting landing clearance on Crate. This is the Polestar of Alderaan, over. Polestar of Alderaan to any Stang!" Leia didn't ask what the problem was. She just grabbed the nearest safety harness, only an instant before the ship tilted sharply to one side and began to shudder. "Tractor beam!" Batten shouted. "Weak one, though, for towing cargo, not to capture ships. Hang on." Larger Imperial ships and stations had tractor beams. Maybe this wasn't resistance to the Empire after all. Maybe they'd flown straight into a trap. The prospect didn't scare her too much. As long as the Polestar wasn't shot down, she'd be fine. Once Imperial officers learned who she was, her release would be only a matter of time. "But I'll always be watched, under suspicion. My parents will find out what I've been up to. And what about Batten? Will they release her, too?" Fear for her pilot eclipsed any worries Leia had for herself. "Please don't let me have hurt someone else. Not again." The Polestar pulled free of its tether with a jerk that nearly sent Leia crashing to the floor. She couldn't be relieved while the ship was still headed toward the ground at considerable speed. "Batten, are we all right?" "We will be. Gonna be kind of a rough landing, but we'll make it. Just don't tell the other pilots about this." "We're never telling anyone about this!" With a lurch and a thud, the Polestar made contact with the ground, skidding across the salt flats for what felt like a long time. Finally, they came to a stop. Leia pulled up a visual on the nearest screen and saw blank whiteness surrounding them in all directions, except for the one slash of red that marked their path along the surface and pointed to them like an enormous arrow. The first thing that told her was the most important. "If anyone's looking for us, we won't be hard to find." By the time Res Batten joined her shortly afterward, Leia was already half suited up. Batten shook her head. "We're just running out there? Not checking around first?" "We've found as much as we're going to find with ship's sensors." And if she waited very long, fear would get the better of her. Nobody liked to admit this, but courage had a short half-life. You had to act while you had it. When the two of them set out from the Polestar, the opening of the hatch allowed gusts of wind to blow through the yacht. Pinpricks of salt stung Leia's nose and cheeks. At least the harsh wind meant the red trace they'd left on the ground would soon be erased. But that was the only good thing she could say about it. She pulled her safety goggles up to protect her eyes and walked out. Crate was as featureless a world as Leia had ever seen or imagined. At least in this vicinity, nothing marked the landscape but salt drifts sloping toward a mountain range ahead of them, and an indistinct horizon behind. Everything was white on white, with only the faintest pink patches visible on the ground where the Polestar had skidded on the surface. She felt a moment's gratitude that they'd landed at sunset. At midday, the shine of sunlight on salt would be blinding.
"Not exactly the hottest holiday spot in the galaxy, is it?"
Batten said, her voice crackling through the speaker on her breath mask.
"Though I guess if you really want to get away from it all, this is the place."
Snow might be difficult to hike through, but Leia quickly learned it had nothing on heavy, slippery sodium. She trudged through salt several centimeters thick to get to a slightly higher spot on the ground, then took out her macro binoculars,
If their early scans were correct, the structures they'd seen would be approximately half a kilometer ahead, nearer the base of the mountains. No signs of activity in the distance, which suggested that they'd managed to land without being detected. That, or they were being watched.
Let's keep moving.
Leia nodded toward Batten.
Repeat our earlier message on comms as often as you can. I want them to know we're not trying to sneak up on them. This is a friendly visit.
We're all great pals. Check.
Batten began walking toward the horizon, clicking resend every few steps. Another sharp gust of wind sliced through the air, sending up flumes of white salt around deep red gashes of soil. Leia was reminded of blood oozing through makeshift bandages. Not the most reassuring image. The red never remained bright for long, though. Salt settled back into the grooves almost instantly, with a low, constant hiss. It sounded enough like a whisper to send chills along her skin. Impossible to stay calm when it felt like the planet itself was trying to warn her, drowning out the recorded call echoing from Batten's comm. Taller salt drifts marked the terrain as they moved forward. The wind picked up too, making the salt swirl low on the ground like smoke. Although Leia had always found Coruscant claustrophobic, its skyscrapers were reassuring compared to this stark, featureless land. Its din would have been a comfort after Crait's eerie near silence. From Batten's belt, Leia could hear fragments of their message.
Pulsar of Alderaan to base. Please respond.
A deeper rumble behind one of the salt drifts made the hair along her arms prickle. The enormous salt mound nearest them trembled with the vibration, grains skittering along its surface. She shouted,
"Is it an avalanche?"
Or whatever you call it, when what was falling was salt instead of snow.
"I don't think so,"
Batten said.
"Sounds more like a vehicle, or like machinery."
The salt drifts exploded, or seemed to. Waves of salt sprayed out in every direction, lashing Leia's thighs and midsection and knocking her backward. The grainy stuff made for a hard landing, one that scraped her hands and cheek. She coughed, tasting sodium in her mouth and feeling scratches in her throat.
"Hands up!"
came an unfamiliar voice. Amid the whirling salt, figures took shape. Five soldiers, each of them armed with blaster rifles. Batten twitched, clearly considering going for her weapon, but had the good sense to remain on her knees. The soldier said,
"Identify yourselves."
Leia got to her feet, lifted her chin, and spoke in the same bold voice she had used on her day of demand.
"I am Princess Leia of the Royal House of Organa, future Queen of Alderaan, and I demand to speak to your leader. Now!"
The soldiers exchanged glances. Apparently they weren't used to people giving orders while being taken prisoner, but they'd just have to get used to it. She was a princess, damn it, and there was incredible power in knowing that. Finally, the lead soldier motioned toward Batten.
"You there! Return to your ship! The princess comes with us!"
"No way!"
Batten stepped sideways, trying to come between the blaster rifles and Leia.
"I'm her guard. I stay with her."
The lead soldier shook his head.
"Either the princess comes with us, or both of you get on that ship and fly away now."
Brightening up, Batten replied,
"I say we go with that. Righto, nice meeting you. We'll just be going."
Leia put out her hand. If they flew away, they might be shot down. These people had to be convinced she was a friend, not only for her own safety, but to protect her pilot, too. She didn't intend to get anybody hurt ever again.
"I'll go with them."
Batten shook her head once more.
"Your mother will skin me alive. I mean this in a literal sense. My hide will be tanned and turned into some kind of belt or purse or other accessory." "Don't exaggerate,"
Leia said firmly.
"You just spend some time in the brig." "Oh, that's where we are,"
Batten muttered.
"Spending time in the brig counts as the bright side."
The lead soldier said,
She'll be safe.
Leia wanted to believe him. Either way, she'd go where he led. The shelters weren't that far away, but trudging through the shifting salt made the hike feel as though it went on forever. Or maybe that was the distinct knowledge of the guns in the soldiers' hands. Either way, by the time they reached a low-roofed gray structure jutting from the salt drifts near the mountains, Leia's breaths came fast and she was sweating. The soldiers led her through the door and down a few steps. Echoing sounds in the distance revealed most of this base, or station, was located underground. However, Leia was steered through a narrow, featureless corridor that revealed nothing of this place's layout or capacities. By that point, it was fine with her. She wanted to simply drop to the floor in gratitude for a place to rest. But she couldn't betray any weakness. These people needed to understand she'd come to them as an equal and a potential ally. If they didn't believe her, is this the most danger I've ever been in? Probably. Almost certainly.
Stay here,
the lead soldier said as they ushered her into a small room, half filled with pale equipment crates. The activity from within came from a tiny MSE series droid, rolling through to scan content codes. As Leia took the one chair, the soldier continued.
We'll bring our leader to you soon, or we'll let you go.
He didn't say which option was more likely, or what would make the difference. When he shut the door behind him, it locked with a solid metal chunk, which sounded very final. Why tell me to stay here if you're going to lock me in? Leia grumbled. But she didn't think much about it. She was too busy unfastening her jacket to provide easier access to her blaster. They hadn't even thought to check her for weapons. There were advantages to being a teenage girl in the middle of a situation like this. Her opponents underestimated her, which made so many things possible. Leia took the blaster in her hand. She wasn't a practiced shot, but in a room this small, surely it would be hard to miss. Could she really fire at a person? Maim or kill them, even to save her own life? Hopefully it wouldn't come to that, but Leia knew it could. All right. I sit in this chair right in front of the door. I point the blaster at the leader right away. No, that might look like an attack, and they'll fire immediately. But if I don't have it in my hands, they might search me after the fact and find it, which will leave me both a prisoner and unarmed. I can't do that. She didn't make the decision with her conscious mind. When the door clicked again and swung open, Leia obeyed her instincts and swung the blaster up into position, ready to fire. Then she saw the man stepping forward into the light, pulling back the hood of his jacket to reveal the shock on his face. A face she knew by heart. Leia whispered, "Daddy?" Chapter 9. Bail Organa took another step forward and stared at Leia as though he'd never seen her before. The shock weakened every muscle in her body, and she let her arm drop to her side, the blaster now dangling from slack fingers.
"They told me you were here," her father said. "But I didn't believe it. How did you find us?"
"I traced some strange traffic through Caldera Station." But why were they even talking about that? "Dad, what's going on?"
"You don't need to know."
"Well, I do know." Shaking off her stupor, Leia reholstered her blaster at her side. "Are you really going to try to keep hiding this from me? Here and now?" Bail put one hand to his forehead like a man with a headache. Probably she'd given him one.
"Tell me what you've learned, Leia, and tell me how you learned it."
Shock was quickly morphing into anger. "I find you in the middle of some kind of insurgent camp, and I'm the one who has to answer questions?"
"It matters,"
he said, a note of urgency in his voice she'd never heard before.
"If you could find us, so could the Empire. We thought we'd erased all data about Caldera Station, but if we missed something, lives are at stake."
A jolt of fear straightened her spine. Her vivid imagination showed her visions of star destroyers overhead, TIE fighters swooping down like Rye crows to destroy them all. The data about shipping traffic between here and Calderos was stored in some older records I'd put together for the apprentice legislature. And some of the hostages I rescued from Wobani mentioned Itapi Prime, that they had cousins there who did a lot of business through the station. Something about that link seemed odd, so I followed the trail. It brought me here.
I'll need you to destroy that data as soon as you return to Coruscant, Bale said.
His stance relaxed slightly as he nodded, answering a question within his own mind.
Thank the Force it came from your private records.
All right, I'll destroy it, Leia promised. But what is this? Whatever it is, you attacked Calderas Station, right? You attacked the Empire.
Her father held up one hand to forestall any more questions, but at least he'd accepted he couldn't get out of this without telling her something.
Not personally, but one of our groups was responsible, yes. We're carrying out a few tactical strikes meant to weaken Imperial control.
You always said we had to exercise influence through the Senate, to change the system from within.
I still believe there's valuable work to be done there, but Palpatine's rule only grows more despotic as time goes on. A few of us have come to accept that operating within the law won't be enough.
He sighed heavily as he sat on the edge of one of the crates, the tiny MSE droid whirring near his feet.
I realize this must be upsetting for you, that you're disappointed in me. I don't blame you for feeling that way, Leia. I only ask that you try to understand.
Disappointed? Dad, this is amazing! Her doubts about violent action had faded the instant she realized her father played a part in all this, that he even seemed to be the one in charge. Despite the recent distance between them, her trust in his goodness remained absolute. For Leia, it was this simple. If Bail Organa led this movement of rebels, then they were doing the right thing. And she wanted to be a part of it. "Does Mom know?" she asked.
Bail gave her a look. "As if I could hide anything from your mother. The truth is, she had the idea even before I did. She remains on Alderaan, but she has a role to play. Let's leave it at that."
"Not likely." "What about me? What can I do?"
"Leia, no. You're not to have any part in this."
"I already do," she pointed out. "I let you know how people might find this base."
"That doesn't count," he said,
in her opinion unfairly.
"How did you get here?"
"Commandeered the Polestar. With what crew members?"
Her father's voice sharpened and his gaze intensified. This was the stage that came immediately before "you're in serious trouble, young lady."
"Just one," she said quickly. "Lieutenant Res Batten. She stayed with the Polestar." Relief gentled Bale's expression.
"I know Batten. She can be trusted. I'll still need to talk to her in person when we're back on Alderaan."
"When will that be? How long do we stay here? What is there to do?"
Questions bubbled up inside Leia, dozens and dozens of them, but mostly she wanted to be put to work. Constructing shelters? Cleaning up? Any task, no matter how mundane, seemed like an exciting chance to help her father stand against the Empire.
You can go home," Bail said. "You don't mention this to anyone, ever, do you understand?"
"But, Mom..."
"Yes, obviously we'll talk about this with your mother, but that's it. After that conversation, you pretend your trip here never happened. Do you understand?"
"No! That doesn't make any sense!"
Leia stamped one foot on the floor.
"Not the part where I don't tell anyone. Obviously I'm not going to tell. But how am I supposed to pretend I don't know what's happening?"
Bail held out his hands in a gesture of helplessness, or exasperation. Maybe both.
"If you want to be a part of a rebellion, you have to learn how to lie."
Brightening, she said, "So when I know how to lie, I can be a part of this?"
I didn't mean... That was only a general...
Breathing out in frustration, he paused before he continued.
Do you realize the risk you took, coming here? If we hadn't identified your ship as civilian in time, we might have shot you out of the sky. Batten's a good pilot, but we have even better gunners. I would have been the one to give the order. I could have killed you, Leia!
His voice shook. That idea scared him even more than it did her.
What if you'd been followed by an Imperial scout? Every single person on Crait could have been killed. Everyone. That includes my soldiers, your crew members, me and you. All those lives could have been lost, only because you couldn't leave well enough alone.
The memory of Wabani made her waver. But she couldn't back down. Not now. Instead, she crossed her arms in front of her chest.
I wouldn't have to investigate things on my own if you'd just tell me the truth.
That's it, Bail said. I'm taking you home.
Leia flew home on the Polestar, with her father's ship, the Tantive III, off their wing, and flying as close as any military convoy sent out for an arrest. Res Batten did her job without so much as a sideways glance. Obviously, she understood the value of discretion. Still, as they finally re-entered the Alderaan system, Batten ventured,
Are we in trouble, or aren't we?
You're not in trouble, Leia replied. Me, on the other hand.
So we never went to Crait. Never even heard of any such planet as Crait. And so definitely didn't find your father there, because how would we find the Viceroy on a planet he never visited, and we're not even sure exists?
Batten shrugged and raised her eyebrows.
It's a mystery.
We went on a survey run, Leia tried. Turned up absolutely nothing. Batten nodded firmly.
Nothing would include planets that probably don't exist. Got it.
If only all Leia's questions could be resolved so easily. It felt as if nothing made sense anymore, and maybe it never would, unless her mother could explain. After landing in the middle of Aldera's night, she hurried from the spaceport without waiting for her father's ship to land. Bail Organa would no doubt have sent word ahead to the palace, so Leia harbored no illusions about getting to tell her mother her version of events first. She only wanted a few moments to speak freely, one-on-one. As she'd anticipated, as soon as she walked into the inner chambers of the palace, she saw Bria standing in the great hall, waiting. No doubt she'd been awakened by the message, because her hair hung long and free down her back, and she wore a simple velvet robe instead of the usual royal finery. Faint golden light glowed at the neckline of the robe, hinting at the pulmonodes underneath. None of that mattered as much as the haunting, unfamiliar expression on Bria's face. It took Leia a moment to recognize what she saw there as uncertainty, an emotion she'd never believed her mother felt.
Leia.
Bria held out her hand to her.
My child. You should never have had to know this.
I wanted to know,
Leia insisted. Her mother's hand was strangely cold, as though she were ill or in shock.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because the knowledge is dangerous. To you, to me, to your father, and to every single being who has allied with us in this fight.
Shaking her head sadly, Bria added,
You have to go on as though you had never learned of this.
How am I supposed to do that? Mom, you've raised me to know how evil the Empire is. To want to do something about it.
This is different, Bria said. Don't ask me how. Thinking you can score a point, you know how.
Leia did. The wide doors to the hall swung open again, this time admitting her father. Bail Organa had changed from his gray and white Crait gear into the long coat of the Viceroy, although he didn't need that to look intimidating.
You couldn't wait at the spaceport, he said to Leia.
I wanted to talk to Mom, Leia insisted.
She caught herself pushing out her lower lip and stopped it. She was too old to pout. If she wanted to make a point, she'd have to argue it.
Who started this? Where did it begin?
Her parents turned to each other, silently weighing between them what could and couldn't be said. They had a way of speaking to each other without words, such a perfect understanding that sometimes Leia thought they didn't need to talk at all. It had taken her a long time to realize not all spouses were like this, that not everyone found the kind of love that was like sharing souls. At last, Bria answered. No one person started it. Many of us around the galaxy have seen the need for greater action, and began taking the first steps on our own. We found each other. We're still learning to trust each other. The work ahead requires extraordinary trust.
The work ahead?
Leia whispered.
What does that mean?
We don't know yet.
Bail took his wife's other hand and held it to his chest.
We have to be ready for anything.
They were determined. They were steadfast. And they were afraid. Seeing their fear made Leia believe more firmly in their courage than anything else could have done. If they could be this brave, she could as well. I can be ready too. Let me help. Absolutely not. Brea snapped back into mother mode, the version of it closest to queen mode. The danger we're facing is too great. Do you think not telling me anything is going to protect me? Her parents might be courageous, but to Leia they seemed short-sighted too. If the two of you are found out, do you really think the Empire won't come for me? Her mother made a low, anguished sound in the back of her throat, not quite a moan. Bail gripped his wife's hand more tightly for a few long, silent moments before he said,
They would. We know that. We carry the burden of that knowledge every day. And if they do come for you, you have to be completely innocent. Do you understand, Leia? If they question you, if they torture you...
His voice cracked and he couldn't go on. Brea picked up where he left off. If you truly know nothing, eventually they'll realize that. There's a chance, a good chance, I think, that they'd let you go. Probably they'd feel the need to leave someone from the royal house of Alderaan alive. And if you're blameless, they could install you as queen to try to make it seem like a normal transfer of power. It's the only shield we have for you, Leia. Don't ask us to destroy it. Otherwise, we couldn't endure another day of this fight, and we must endure it. The fate of the entire galaxy is at stake. I don't think we could risk you for anything less. Tears welled in her mother's dark eyes, and Leia felt powerless to comfort her. Instead, she watched as Bail brought Bria into his embrace and brushed his lips against her black hair. I thought... The words trembled more than Leia had thought they would.
I thought you two had forgotten about me. I thought you were ignoring me for no reason.
Her parents instantly turned back to her, eyes wide with dismay. Bail shook his head as he said,
Sweetheart, no. We would never do that. Never.
Bria pulled Leia into the embrace, turning it into a family hug. Nothing less important than this work could ever take us from you, she whispered as she stroked Leia's braided hair. Not even this changes how much we love you. It's your future we fight for. Do you understand? Leia couldn't answer out loud. She just nodded, burrowing deep into her parents' arms, wishing they never had to be farther apart than this. By the time she reached her bedroom, it was very nearly dawn. Her window faced away from the sunrise, so the only proof she saw was the graying of the night sky. Dully, she wondered whether the household staff would remember to override 2V's standing orders to wake Leia up early in the morning. Probably not. If she fell asleep this instant, she might get 2 hours of rest. That was laughable. Leia felt as if she would never be able to sleep again. Her mind raced wildly in a dozen directions at once, full of new knowledge and countless new questions her parents would refuse to answer. However, she had realized something even the formidable Bail and Bria Organa didn't know. They were fooling themselves about shielding her. If her parents were revealed to be in rebellion against Emperor Palpatine, the entire House of Organa would be destroyed. Leia would die alongside her parents. Maybe the stormtroopers would even burn the palace to the ground. No mercy would be shown, and no innocence could protect her from the fate that would follow. Really, her parents were too intelligent to believe otherwise. Only the desperation of their love had convinced them that part of their plan had any chance of success. Leia knew better. She hadn't had enough time to deceive herself. The danger terrified her, but it excited her too. Instead of grappling with mystery and uncertainty, she saw a fight on the horizon, one with a clear enemy. Leia was sick of living in confusion or fear. She wanted to take action. But how could she do that? Bail and Bria wouldn't easily surrender their illusion of her safety. They would never willingly bring her into the fold of whatever organization this was they were forging. She still didn't understand exactly what that was, which was maddening. But her parents hadn't betrayed one whisper of information beyond what Leia had already discovered for herself. More than that, her mother and father were deceiving themselves about her safety, because it was the only way for them to go on. She didn't want to hurt them or make them more frightened than they already were. What if they pulled out of the fight entirely just to keep her from it? But if the battle ahead was one for her future, then it was Leia's battle too. Whether her parents knew it or not. Chapter 10. I could be a courier, maybe. If I'm off-world where nobody knows I'm a princess, nobody pays any attention to me because they think I'm too young to be doing anything important. That means I could deliver critical secret messages without anybody noticing. "Watch it!" Keir called, just as Leia slipped on her foothold. She was able to compensate in time, but hearing the rocks rattle down the mountainside beneath her was sobering. Newly alert, she took stock of her position on the ridge. Her entire pathfinding class was working on rock climbing skills today, on the fog-shrouded planet of Eriadu. Their trail led them along the outskirts of a richly forested gorge, one shadowed in moss and mists. Even though Eriadu City could be seen in the far distance, they were beyond the town noise. She could hear nothing but the scrabbling of her classmates on the mountain trail, and the occasional rustling of tree branches beneath when one of the world's large flying reptiles swooped through them, visible only as shadow. A couple of meters away, Emmeline Holdo dangled from a climbing rope. She swung sideways toward Leia, purple hair peeking out from under her climbing helmet.
"I understand the urge to explore extreme terror," she said in her odd monotone. "But maybe this isn't the time."
"I got distracted." That was as much of the truth as Leia could share. Emmeline smiled airily and swung back to her original place.
"Pull it together over there," shouted Chief Panji,
who was taking up the rear.
"We need to get back from this trip with the same number of princesses we started with."
Leia called out,
"Sorry, it won't happen again."
Under his breath, Keir said something she probably wasn't meant to hear.
"Yeah, it will."
She turned toward him.
"Excuse me?"
His face remained impassive, his dark eyes more curious than defensive.
"It's true. Your head's been somewhere else all day. I don't know what's more important to you than not falling down this mountain, but whatever it is..."
"You don't know what you're talking about," Leia insisted. "And I don't see how it's any of your business how I climb."
"We're roped together,"
he pointed out, not unreasonably. She recognized as she hadn't before the tension in his wiry, muscular arms and the sweat that shone on his brow.
"If you fall, I probably fall too."
That snapped her out of it better than anything else could have done. Of course they had portable force fields projected only a few meters beneath their climbing position. A tumble wouldn't be fatal, only embarrassing. But Leia had gained a sharper appreciation for not putting other people at risk. Newly focused, she dedicated herself to getting up the ridge, paying attention to nothing farther away than the stone against her gloves and boots. Within another half hour,
they'd reached the high plateau that marked their goal for the day. Sam, who could secrete an adhesive substance from between his scales to aid in climbing, made it up so long before the others that they found him stretched out, basking in the sun.
"We're taking a hopper down from here, aren't we?"
Chasselin's long face was shiny with sweat, and his usually well-tended curls frizzed in every direction.
"Right? There's got to be a hopper." "Weak, Stevus."
Chief Panji had taken a seat by Sam, and was already digging into her packed lunch.
"Can't act weak if you want to be strong."
He folded his arms.
"I'm rich. I don't have to be strong."
"You never know when you're going to lose all your money,"
Emmeline pointed out as she removed her helmet, then shook her purple hair free. Chasselin's eyes got larger, as though she'd just described the greatest disaster that could ever unfold. Leia took a seat at the far edge of the plateau, her booted feet just shy of the edge. Thanks to sweat and dust, she was filthy. A line of grime marked the length of her sleeve. But she liked the sense of exhilaration that came after exertion. "See?" she said to the parents in her head, who were much more pliant and easily surprised than the real ones. "I'm not afraid of taking risks. I'm ready for hard work. Let me try." Then she remembered her father's voice breaking when he talked about the possibility of her being captured. How could she ever push them when they were already so afraid for her? But how could she not stand against the Empire? Leia unscrewed the canister of soup she'd brought for lunch and set out a bandana as a sort of placemat. Only then did she realize Kier was settling in not far away. When he noticed her looking at him, he said,
"This is okay, right?"
"I don't own the mountain."
"That's right. We're not on Alderaan anymore."
She breathed out, a little huff of exasperation. "I don't own the mountains on Alderaan either." He didn't look up from unwrapping his sandwich as he said,
"No, they own you."
"What are you getting at, Kier?"
"On Alderaan, you're stuck being a princess all the time. On Coruscant, you're a senator in training. But here, when we're climbing, I think that's when you get to be yourself."
She'd never thought of it that way before. "Why are you so worried about whether or not I'm happy being a princess?" That wasn't exactly what he'd said, but he glided past it.
"You're the future ruler of my planet, so I'm kind of curious about what you're really like."
"I guess that makes sense," Leia admitted.
"That's not your only reason,"
sang Emmeline Holdo, who turned out to be sitting on a boulder that loomed over their ridge. She gave Kier a loopy smile.
"But it's a good excuse. Maybe go with that."
Kier ducked his head, more amused than abashed.
"Can't go with it if you're blowing my cover."
With a shrug, Emmeline turned back to her lunch, which seemed to be some sort of multicolored pasta. It wasn't like Leia hadn't considered the possibility before. Kier was difficult to get to know, but he was smart and insightful. Interested in the larger galaxy around them, willing to pitch in and help. Unawed by her royal status, even if sometimes he pushed too hard to prove that. And good-looking. Can't forget good-looking. Not that Leia was in much danger of forgetting it. She'd gotten to like his whipcord thinness, his heavy brows, and his deep-set dark eyes. Still, looks weren't everything. She had to figure Kier Dimadi out a little more before she could know what she wanted from him. Gazing toward the horizon, she again took in the buzz of air traffic around Eriadu City, as much as could be seen around Aldera. Even though Alderaan was a core world, heavily connected by trade to many planets in the galaxy, while Eriadu had been a little remarked upon way station in the Outer Rim until a generation or two ago. Nodding in that direction, she said, "I guess Grand Moff Tarkin looks after his own."
"Obviously. It's not like anybody would have a reason to refuel here, unless they were officially diverted."
Whatever embarrassment Kier might have felt earlier had already faded. His attention was on the distant metropolis.
"Tarkin's not the only Imperial higher-up who channeled money back home. That's how the Empire operates. Favoritism and graft."
Leia agreed with every word, but had never heard anyone speak so openly about it. Not even her parents outside the privacy of the palace.
You should be careful, she said in a low voice. Not everyone appreciates honesty.
Her eyes flickered over to Chaselyn Stevis, but he lay sprawled on the ground, exhausted to the point of semi-consciousness. Kier only shrugged.
I don't lie to people.
Leia remembered how thoroughly her parents had lied to her, and how she was now lying to Kier, and to the entire galaxy through her silence about their plans. Honesty and deception were more complex than they first appeared. She only smiled and said, If you don't like lying, then what are you doing in politics?
That made him laugh out loud, the first time she'd ever heard him laugh.
The rarity of it made it feel more worth winning.
I'm moving on as quickly as possible. Hopefully someday I'll teach at a university like my mom. She teaches political science, but I want to become a historian. The apprentice legislature seemed like a good place to synthesize the two, to build on what she taught me while I move in my own direction.
He leaned forward, resting his forearms on his knees.
We don't all get tutors, you know.
Kier wasn't needling her, she finally realized. He was studying her with the avid curiosity he brought to every subject, every moment.
Sometimes tutors aren't especially helpful.
She pointed her thumb back at Chief Panji, who was no doubt grinning in glee at the thought of sending them back down the mountain again.
Especially when you have a dozen. A dozen? Really?
He shook his head like someone surfacing from underwater, readjusting expectations.
Royalty don't use educational droids?
Sure, for standard academic subjects. But I've also had tutors in pathfinding, diplomacy, piloting, navigation, you name it. I've even studied hand-to-hand combat, though I'm still advancing there.
I never realized the House of Organa got into so many fistfights.
The joke was implicit. Everyone throughout the galaxy was familiar with her parents' reputation for peacemaking. If only the worlds knew the truth. Hurriedly, Leia said,
Honestly, I think my parents just want me to blow off some steam. I wish the lessons could start tomorrow.
Kier took another bite of his sandwich, chewing thoughtfully before finally saying,
I've never studied hand-to-hand combat, but I'm pretty good at sharpshooting.
What, like with blasters? He nodded.
If you're game for a 13th tutor, and not afraid of a challenge, we could try that sometime, if you'd like.
Leia could get a sharpshooting tutor from anywhere, anytime she wished. Probably that would have been covered by her combat instructor anyway. And she knew full well that Kier wasn't offering to teach her because he thought she needed to know. He was making an excuse to spend time with her. She said, Yeah, I'd like that. 2 days later, on Coruscant, Leia and Kier walked into a target practice arena. A skinny, pyramid-shaped space that at its highest point reached 10 meters over their heads. The faint metallic shimmer of its pale walls hinted at the holographic projectors and electronic scorers embedded within. Beneath her booted feet, the dark floor had some springiness to it, not unlike a gymnastics mat. As she bounced on her heels, Kier noticed.
You can request the softer surface, so you get used to judging your terrain without relying on a flat, solid floor every time.
Makes sense. Like her, Kier wore a form-fitting white coverall, lined with silver reflective piping. The pale cloth emphasized the golden tan of his skin. She blinked hard, refocusing her attention.
Let's get started. Show me your firing stance, he said,
and she went into the position she'd seen her guards in several times. After a second, Kier nodded and raised his eyebrows, impressed.
Okay. You've got that part down.
She'd thought he might put his arms around her to correct her position, and wondered whether she should have fudged the stance just a little bit. No. Leia wanted anyone who was interested in her to know who she really was, what she could really do. If Kier DeMadi wanted to put his arms around her, well, he'd find a way. Or she would. Focus, she told herself as the lights lowered to one quarter their usual brightness. But she'd spent so little time with anyone her own age, much less anybody she was attracted to. Being close to Kier energized her in a way she hadn't experienced before. And she liked it.
Run target practice simulation 1.
Kier called out as he took his position, his back almost against Leia's.
On my mark, go!
A small golden polyhedron appeared in the air overhead, on Kier's side of the arena. Instantly, he fired one of the bluish test pistol blasts, which shattered the holographic image. A transparent scoreboard hovering above showed 10 points.
Points? We're scoring this?
Leia adjusted her grip. At the edge of her peripheral vision, she saw him turning his head toward her.
You're not scared of a challenge, are you?
She answered him by pointing her weapon at the next floating polyhedron and firing. The bolt only clipped the hologram, but that was enough to hold it in place for a few moments, more than long enough for her to fire again and finish it.
5 points, said the scoreboard. All right, then, Kier said,
and somehow she could hear the smile in his voice. Most of the next hour passed in a happily violent blur. Leia kept winging her targets instead of hitting them straight on, until she realized she was regularly leading left. Once she'd figured out how to adjust for that, her scores started rising dramatically. When the lights finally came up, she was 30 points behind Kier, but she'd been more than 150 points behind at the halfway mark.
Another few minutes, she panted, surprised at how tired she was. And I would have caught you.
Leia expected him to argue, but he nodded.
You would have. I think you have a talent for this. We'll have to practice again and see, won't we?
She raised one eyebrow. Luckily, Leia wasn't the only one who enjoyed a challenge. A slow grin spread across Kier's face.
Yeah, we will.
That night, she took the Polestar back to Alderaan, her mind filled with thoughts about the day's target practice and when she could go again. For the first time in months, she came in without wondering where her parents were or whether they'd even noticed she'd returned. So, naturally, this was the time they were waiting for her.
We were hoping you'd be here for dinner,
her father said as he walked into the library, where Leia had planned on a long daydreaming session.
It's been too long since we ate as a family. And you look hungry.
Was that what she looked like? Leia sat up straighter, trying not to look like anything at all. She failed. To me, she looks happy. Bria came in only a couple of paces behind him, carrying a frosty glass of mint tea, Leia's favorite.
What did you do today?
Sharpshooting. Kier and I practiced together. He goes a lot, and I thought it sounded like...
Good practice for combat probably wasn't the answer her parents wanted to hear.
Lots of fun.
Bale and Bria exchanged glances.
Kier,
Bale said.
That's Kier Damati from the Apprentice Legislature, right?
And from the Pathfinding class, Bria added. At least the shadows in the library would hide any hint of a blush. She didn't want her parents prying. How was she supposed to explain what was going on with Kier before she knew herself? Time to switch to a distracting new subject.
Yeah, that's him,
she said as airily as she could manage.
He won this time, but I nearly caught him. I think I might be good at this.
We might have a target shooting champion on our hands,
Bria said to Bale, her smile widening.
Do you think she could compete incognito? Until she wins her first major match.
He put his arm around Bria, pulling her close.
Then we have to announce our daughter's latest brilliant talent.
Her parents' approval had always warmed Leia, and after so long without it, she felt as if she wanted to drink it all in. She even had news that would increase it, she hoped.
By the way, I'm leaving for my next humanitarian mission tomorrow.
Bria folded her arms across her chest, deliberately theatrical.
Nowhere dangerous in any sense?
Onoam, she answered. It's a moon, actually. Mining conditions there are rough, so I'm taking them new safety equipment. That's all.
That should be fine, Bria said in obvious relief.
Bale frowned slightly.
Onoam.
I think I've heard of it. Years ago, maybe. Viceroy! Your Majesty!
Captain Antilles appeared in one of the doorways. He had the tense, distracted look that Leia was beginning to recognize.
We should speak in your office.
Her parents instantly walked out, without another word to Leia. She wasn't offended. Obviously, they were discussing their actions against the Empire, whatever those were. And those were conversations Leia still had to earn her way into. The trip to Onoam would be a critical step toward that goal. At least this target was a safe one. What place could be farther from anti-imperial activity than Palpatine's home planet? They'd be nothing but happy to learn of her trip to the Naboo system. Chapter 11. As the Polestar slid through the electric blue of hyperspace, Leia ventured, "Seems like it's been longer than a couple of weeks since we traveled together last."
"Has it been?" Res Batten said.
She seemed very interested in the controls in front of her, too much to even look up.
"Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with another flight. The trips all start to run together in my head after a while."
Disconcerted, Leia turned back to her datapad, but the information on the screen meant nothing. Her thoughts ran in other directions. It made no sense for Batten to declare, "Yes, I remember traveling to that illegal military outpost and running into your father there." Acknowledging what they'd seen would be hazardous for both of them, and for Bail Organa too. Still, Leia found their shared silence uncomfortable. "Maybe I only want someone to talk to about this," she thought. "Someone besides my parents." But Res Batten couldn't be her confidant. If she admitted what she knew, it could only put them at risk. Her father had always said you shouldn't put anyone in royal service in jeopardy without their free consent. Besides, Batten was sworn to serve as a pilot and an officer, not as a would-be conspirator, much less as a friend. The divide between princess and pilot was one her mother had warned her about. "The palace can be an isolated place, Leia," Bria had said to her little girl many times, beginning when she was too small to understand how their happy home could ever be lonely. "We have so many privileges, but we have to make sacrifices too. We have to bear our burdens on our own." That still didn't make total sense to Leia. Her parents supported each other. And they could have her support, too, if they'd just make her a part of their plans to push back against the Emperor. But this painful silence, this awkwardness between her and the other person on this ship, where neither of them would admit what they'd seen, that was one of those burdens Bria had spoken of. She'd have to get used to carrying the weight. Leia's plans didn't call for traveling to Naboo itself. She hadn't been in any hurry to set foot on Palpatine's homeworld. But as the Polestar settled into Onoam orbit and Naboo hung large in the starfield, she felt an unexpected pang. It was a beautiful planet, green and blue, laced with faint misty clouds. And surely it could be forgiven for one of its citizens turning out so badly. Then she reminded herself of Wabani, and Ariel, and countless other worlds that had once been this beautiful before they were poisoned by Palpatine's empire. She couldn't enjoy Naboo's beauty knowing the cost of so much of its prosperity. Anyway, their destination had its own charms. Unlike most moons and smaller planets with mines, Onoam remained a lovely place to be, at least on the surface. Gentle winds stirred tall grasses that spread across vast rolling plains beneath a pinkish sky. Many wealthier citizens of Naboo had second homes there, including the provincial governor of this sector, and only a few kilometers from the spaceport stood a secondary royal palace. As chance would have it, the royal personage in question happened to be visiting Onoam. Leia knew enough protocol to know that even their mercy mission had to wait for an hour or two. Because it was the duty of a princess to call on a queen. "You are welcome to our system, princess," said Queen Dalne in the lower, more formal voice, traditional for the ruler of her world. She sat on a high golden throne, dressed in the sumptuous regalia of a ruler of Naboo. Her long robes were a shade of violet so dark it was nearly black, shot through with ornate silver embroidery. Her dark hair had been woven through the lattices of a silver headdress that spread out like a fan, and white makeup on her face made the red of her lips look stark. If we had been given more notice of your visit, we could have prepared a banquet in your honor. I hadn't expected to find you here, Leia said, which was as close to an apology as necessary. I had thought surely the many concerns of your world would keep you on Naboo. Uh-oh. Did that sound like she was criticizing the Queen? Great. Your second diplomatic incident in two trips. At this rate, you'll start a war before the month is out. Yet Queen Dalne smiled, a touch sadly. Once the Queens of Naboo truly were rulers of this world. But since our Senator Palpatine has become Emperor, his governors have taken Naboo's concerns in hand. Really, there is very little for me to do beyond the ceremonial. Bria's words came to mind again. The palace can be an isolated place. Dalne was a girl no older than Leia herself, with no ruler parents to support her and no meaningful duties to perform. She led a life of gilded luxury that some would envy, but Leia understood the bars of the cage around her. Still, royalty didn't have to mean total solitude. Your Majesty, if you have both the time and the will, you could join me today. We'll be distributing safety equipment to the miners. She half expected Dalne to refuse immediately. No doubt there were political pitfalls to this that Leia, as an outsider, couldn't understand. Instead, the Queen of Naboo smiled. Her heavy makeup could no longer conceal her true face. I have the will, Princess Leia, and so I shall make the time. According to the files Leia had studied, the relationship between Naboo and its mining colony on Onoam had always been fractious. A generation before, the miners had repeatedly gone on strike for larger shares of the profits, and some splinter groups had even committed minor political violence, breaking windows and security shields, even burning a vacant warehouse on Naboo itself. No doubt the present miners would have given much to work in the conditions their predecessors had found so objectionable. Before, the miners of Onoam had wanted to be treated more fairly. Now they wanted to be acknowledged as human beings. As the cargo lift with the first load of equipment sank lower into the shaft, light became a rarer resource. The scanty illumination down here was hardly enough to work by, and no more than that. Heavy dust seemed to hang in the air. Leia coughed more than once, and Dalne's snowy makeup had already begun to look dingy. This couldn't be a safe environment for them, or for anyone. But only sentients were allowed to mine for medicinal spice. Droids could be too easily hacked or hijacked to smuggle out amounts sufficient for cooking into new, more potent substances. In other words, illegal ones. Humans could cheat too, but they were rarely as skilled at it, and other motivations could keep them honest. Leia would have thought the best of these motivations would be a fair wage, good working conditions, and a sense of community and camaraderie. Palpatine preferred to motivate through cruelty and terror. When at last they'd sunk to the deepest level of the mine for the equipment, a small group of miners waited for their royal visitors. They might have been any other committee come to greet a visiting dignitary, if it weren't for the handful of stormtroopers milling around in the background, one for every exit. Dalne's protocol droid announced them, then gestured at one tall, skinny man and said,
Brel Tivorn, designated representative of the miners.
My queen, Tivorn said, bowing to his queen first, as was proper. But he turned